UNICEF says that pornography can be healthy for children. And an atheist leaves his post after converting to Jesus Christ. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we have a number of stories to talk about. One specifically that brings a lot of consternation and frustration, but another one that should be joyful. And I'm really, really excited to talk about that one. Obviously, I'm always excited to talk about any of the news and hopefully bring it back captive to the obedience of Christ so that hopefully 5:11 News can play that role in the body of Christ of giving you answers for maybe the water cooler talk with your neighbor or colleague and so forth, or just sharing the gospel on the streets. We always hope to bring everything back, any news item that is going on, captive to the obedience of Christ, and do so from a biblical worldview, one that goes through the scriptures as the lens for reading the world news. So we are excited to have you with us today, and I want to thank all of our supporters that have been involved, not only through Patreon, but Blessed Hope Chapel and Good Fight Ministries. And guys, right now, if you are sitting here and you're on your computer, please subscribe to Blessed Hope Chapel, subscribe to Good Fight Ministries, and subscribe to our YouTube channel here at Good Fight Radio Show, because we have five episodes a week coming at you guys. Hope you guys are really blessed by them. And I am excited for this episode specifically because I'm going to start it off with some good news, right? Is that the old adage? Somebody says, you want the good news or the bad news? We're going to do the good news first. And I guess the best way to give this news is to simply read the press release from the Atheists of Kenya, their Twitter page. This is what it says. Press statement. Resignation of Atheists in Kenya Secretary, Mr. Seth Mahinga. This evening, regretfully, the Secretary of the Atheist in Kenya Society, Mr. Seth Mahinga, informed me that he has made the decision to resign from his position as Secretary of the Society. Seth's reason for resigning is that he has found Jesus Christ and is no longer interested in promoting atheism in Kenya. Wow. I mean, just hear those words. It is such an awesome thing to read. One, just to think that an atheist organization would put this out and literally list the reason is that he found Jesus. And I think that is absolutely beautiful. I mean, could you not imagine how many people were probably praying for him, especially getting involved as a secretary of an organization that is bent on coming against the God of the Bible specifically? I actually went through their page because a number of people actually said, hey, man, this has got to be some incel thing. Maybe this organization is really Christian, but I went to their page and their page is quite antichrist, okay? Their posts before and after this are antichrist. But one of the cool things was when I went here and checked it out, they tweeted the very next day after this, they actually tweeted out the video of Seth Mahinga coming to Christ and explaining this to an entire congregation there in Kenya. And what an absolute blessing it is. And it's really interesting because if you watch the video that they still have up, as I'm looking at it right now, they still have up on their website, that video at the very end, the last words you hear are the pastor quoting Philippians chapter 2, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ as Lord. And I think that's pretty awesome to think because from somebody who came out of agnosticism, atheism, and so forth, and came to know Christ, Philippians 2 was a verse that I read early on in my faith, and I remember reading that and thinking about some of the more hardcore atheists and blasphemers, the Christopher Hitchens at that time before he had passed away, Richard Dawkins currently and now is probably the most famous atheist on the planet right now, Sam Harris, more of the American side, Daniel Dennett, some of these guys that they called the four horsemen of the atheist apocalypse. And I would listen to these guys speak and I would think about that. But then I remembered while reading Philippians 2 that every single knee will bow, and that includes them as well. In fact, when I see that text, I think about this, whether they want to repent now, and we pray that they would. I'm telling you right now, I found out that I was deceived and I came to know Christ. It is the best thing that will ever happen to you for this life and the life to come. But one of the things is when I see that and I recognize that these guys are blaspheming them, ultimately, our God is so awesome. Jesus is so awesome that when they see them, even in judgment, they will not be able to do anything other than worship, because that's how awesome my King is. And just remember that, because that is the truth of the gospel, that we have a risen King in Jesus Christ. We have a hope and a salvation that comes with evidence. And I love that because, you know, we're talking about atheism here today. And you think about atheists, they'll say, you know, faith is this expectation of a hope that has no evidence. And that is exactly and precisely the opposite of the definition we're given of faith in the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. We're told that faith is two things. It's substance and it's evidence. Elenchos is the word used there. And I absolutely love that when I think about the definition of faith, that when it comes to my faith and me coming to know Christ, that my faith is one that is backed up with two things, substance and evidence. It isn't fairy tales. It isn't, I'm going to take a jar, put nothing in a jar, and I mix it up with time, and all of a sudden now I get entire galaxies and the DNA and the ecosystem structure and all of this. It's none of that. And there's a reason why the scriptures say in Romans chapter 1 that the atheist, that person that would deny these very things that has been made evident within them, that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because everything is clearly seen. The creative order tells us there's a creation. I don't look at a painting and wonder if there's no painter. I don't look at a building and wonder if there's no builder. I know without a doubt there is one. And when I look at the complexity of the universe, that without a doubt, I know I have a creator. And I was one who suppressed that at one point. So I applaud Mr. Seth Mahiga. I hope I'm saying that right. Either way, hopefully I'll get to meet him in heaven one day. Lord, please help this man to continue in the faith. It is so awesome to read this. And it just made me think of Luke chapter 15, because in Luke chapter 15, we get to see what it's like when people come to faith, when people come to salvation. And I hope this is an encouragement to you as well. When somebody comes out of atheism and so forth, especially someone who's involved trying to push atheism and promote it, and now all of a sudden they're going to promote Christ in such a way, this should be an encouragement to us that no one's too far out of reach. So we could go out and witness to those people. There's nothing more that should play with our heartstrings and say, hey, I want to get out and share the gospel, because I bet you some of his family probably thought he's too far gone. He hates God. And really, the gospel came in and he came to Christ. And I'm going to go through a few of these parables because I absolutely love salvation stories. One of the first things I love to do if I'm counseling someone or I get a chance to sit down with somebody who's a believer is I always ask them, how did you come to know Christ? I love hearing that love story of somebody coming to know their Savior. And when I read Luke chapter 15, I get all these different instances of what it's like in heaven when someone comes to Christ. So I'm going to start, on verse 1. That's good. It says, now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribe began grumbling, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them a parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I love that. That Seth, if he's serious about this and he came to Christ in this radical way, then guess what? There was rejoicing. They were throwing parties in heaven for him. I think that's awesome. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He gives us multiple parables here. Then we have the parable of the lost coin. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You guys see this? When somebody comes to Christ, it's something that we don't hide in this tiny little chamber. It's something we don't hide under a bushel. It's time to celebrate. Let's have joy. Somebody just came to know Christ. They went from death into life. They went from the dominion of darkness into the dominion of his marvelous son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing that we get to have that? And that's something that I absolutely love. I love when people come to Christ. That's why I love sharing the gospel. And I encourage you guys, if you're not involved in sharing the gospel, please get out there. Go tell people about Jesus. There is nothing greater than seeing someone come to faith in Christ. I mean, I want to encourage you. And also, there get to be parties in heaven every time someone comes to faith. And it's pretty awesome. Now, one of the things, and I'm not going to read the whole entire section, but right after this, this is where we get the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is one of my favorite parables for a number of reasons. But the prodigal son is an awesome parable. But remember what happens when his son, who was dead, he says that his son was dead, but now is alive. When his son turns and comes back to him, remember, what is the reaction of the father? The reaction of the father is to throw a party. And remember, they ate the fatted calf, not the fatted cauliflower. You know, I'm just kidding for my, you know, vegetarian brothers and sisters. I wouldn't eat meat in front of you. Romans 14. I totally understand that. But nonetheless, I digress. In all seriousness, the idea behind it is literally a party thrown for this son who was lost and has come back. And I think about this a lot because I think about kind of what happens in some churches. I would say more of the Pentecostal realm. Is these very things that should be something very, very special when certain things happen in the body of Christ, I think that they almost get pushed down. So this idea of dancing and so forth, and somebody will point to, look, David danced when the ark came back. David danced when the Ark of the Covenant was there. So we should be dancing inside of church. But we see that's a specific instance where that takes place, right? That's not like a thing that happens all the time where David's just so excited he's just dancing. No, there's something specific that's going on. And I would say in this instance, in the same way, maybe it's a Matthew 18 situation. Because in Matthew chapter 18, when it talks about starting at verse 15, when it talks about somebody in sin and somebody actually getting to the point where you've tried to go up to them one-on-one. You've taken another brother from your fellowship to them. Now you've taken them before the church, and then you actually anathematize, not anathematize, but you actually set them apart and say, you are now as an unbeliever to us. You're not one of the ilk. You're not coming together with the communion of the saints as we come together. You're not a part of that anymore. I would argue that if that same brother who has been turned aside, if that same brother repented and came back, because remember right after those texts, all in context, right after those texts, that's when Peter asks, well, how many times should I forgive, right? And then it's the 70 times seven answer from Jesus. So I imagine if that person actually repented, imagine the dancing that should probably go on when we see that sort of that action that is biblical according to scripture, and then they come back and we can sing and rejoice and dance because this guy has come back, this sheep that was lost, this coin that was lost, this prodigal son that was lost has returned. And I think that that's something that we can absolutely rejoice in. We can look at that and say, God has done an awesome work and be blessed. So praise God. I just want to, you know, encourage this guy, Seth Mahiga. You know, if, you know, if you're just come to faith, I encourage you, man, just dig into the Word of God. I know that's something that was huge for me. And maybe you're somebody that's a newer convert. One of the biggest things for me was getting challenged by someone to say, hey, man, memorize the scripture. Try memorizing certain scriptures, things, you know, that you're reading. You're like, hey, I should probably meditate on these things, you know, because as the psalmist said, I meditate on your word day and night, right? In Psalm chapter 1 and in Psalm 119, we see how a young man keep his way pure by guiding it according to God's word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. All of these texts of scripture, you know, those texts that say that Jesus is the only way, like John 14:6, these texts written on our hearts so that we never forget those things, that we remember those blessings, that God has given us his word and that we write them on our heart. So congrats to this guy and praise God. And I'm rejoicing as the angels in heaven rejoice. I think this is an awesome story and it's something we need to remind. And praise God that even though these atheists don't know God, they were willing to share this. And I think that's pretty awesome that they were willing to share this, that this guy had found Jesus. And I think it's pretty awesome. So we go from that and we transition to a little bit of a more concerning story. And this has to do with UNICEF. Now, UNICEF is a group involved with the United Nations. That's right. So yes, we are involved as a country, as the United States is in the UN. Not that we probably should be, but that's for politicians to talk about, not me. But nonetheless, UNICEF has come out with this study from 2020 that actually says that it's not actually all that harmful for children to look at pornography. So I want to look at some of the ways they say, some of the things that they say from their study. UNICEF claims that asking for age verification to access pornography online may deny children access to what it calls vital sexuality education. I mean, just think about that for a second. One, I am of the belief that pornography should be illegal, period. Forget age verification. But now you are getting to a place where you're trying to say that there's a vital means, a vital need for young kids to look at women being objectified. You know, we did an entire, I think it turned into a 5-part series on pornography, not only showing just the wickedness from where it started. We all know it's wicked. It's from Satan and all of that. But also recognizing how Satan's sex scheme worked throughout history, using not only the 1960s and so forth, and Alfred Kinsey, a follower of Satanist Aleister Crowley. But then we also showed Kinsey's connection with Playboy's Hugh Hefner, the founder, and how he basically wanted to popularize by showing women naked. He wanted to popularize the information that Kinsey had gotten. Of course, people don't want to talk about how that information was gotten by using child molesters with stopwatches on little infants as young as, I believe, 6 months or so. And so we look at all these things and we recognize Satan's fingerprint all throughout it. And then we see how he has made sexualization through pornography so normative, right? In popular shows, the show Friends right now is doing a whole redo where they're showing what they're all up to now. And everyone's rewatching Friends right now. Friends has an entire episode about watching pornography. The entire show is bent on fornication. That's what most of popular TV is now. It's entirely bent on homosexuality, fornication, and so forth. And this has been so popular, sadly, all of these shows, and this has been going on for a long time in America, these shows have been perpetuating a scale of sexuality that is different than the scale given in scripture. And so what has happened is these parents who are also addicted to pornography, whose kids were in the 90s, their kids were going underneath their bed or in their, you know, drawers and so forth to find their Playboy magazines and whatnot. But now it's right on these kids' phones. And now they have jailbreakers on their phones so they can get around whatever software you try to put on there to stop them from looking at pornography. And you're finding a bunch of kids, young kids, addicted to pornography at a very young age. And one of the things that we would recognize is that women and men are both objectified when it comes to pornography. And what has happened is they actually did a study on the brain waves when somebody watches pornography. And they recognized that the same brain waves that deal with objects were the same ones going off, the same chemical reactions going off in the brain that when somebody watched pornography, because it's objectifying people. They're no longer made in Imago Dei, in the image of God in their mind. They're just an object. And this is once again, from start to finish, a way to kill babies. Yes, that's right. Because what happens with sex just being free and young kids getting involved, watching videos, they shouldn't have age verification so they can watch porn at whatever young age. So guess what? These kids are now clicking on this, watching this, and guess what? They then go out and practice it. And then what happens? Sin begets sin. Fornication, then what takes place? A child, a mother is with child, and then they murder that child. And the scars that happen on that young child from that whole scenario, from the premarital sex against God's design all the way over to the murder of an innocent baby, it is Satan's design over and over, because he does hate the fact, I believe, that we are made in the image of God. And he comes against that. And Satan loves abortion. I mean, he's a liar. He's a murderer from the beginning. He loves it. And we need to recognize these things and see that Satan is getting inroads. And I was always convinced the UN was not of the Lord, but if there was anything that could convince you, I hope it was this. I want to read this as well from the study before I read a couple of scriptures. In the 2020 EU Kids Online study concluded that some children and young people intentionally seek out sexual content for a variety of reasons, and that seeing sexual images, quote, might also represent an opportunity to provide answers to questions about puberty and sexual identity. The study encouraged, quote, seeing the nuances which lead children to seek out and view sexual content online. Sadly enough, one of the big reasons this happens is because we do send our children out to Caesar and expect them not to come back as Romans. I would ask most of the people around my age where they first heard of or talked about pornography, and most of them would probably tell you that it was at school that they learned about or saw their first thing or whatever it may be. And this is typically the case because generational, you have parents that are looking at this, their children, in fact, older brothers and sisters that are looking at this, and then it goes down into the younger children. And guys, this is sad because I fear for the people that cause these little ones to stumble. Jesus was really clear in Mark 9:42, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to stumble, it would be better for him if a great millstone were to wrap around his neck and he was thrown into the middle of the sea. I do not, and I will be there. I will see it, and so will you on Judgment Day. We'll be looking at those who are involved in UNICEF, those who are involved in Playboy, those who do not repent of these things. We will be watching as they do get their just desert for causing these little ones to stumble. For all those people that are peddling pornography to little children, for those that are involved in watching this stuff, guys, you are helping. And we showed very, very clearly the connection between pornography and sex trafficking and the fact, yes, that's right, the fact that when you are turning on things like Pornhub, you are helping to further sex traffickers and sex trafficking. In fact, many people don't know this, but the sex traffickers make more money off of pornography, filming the videos of these women, than they do in terms of selling them off to somebody, right? I think a lot of people saw the Liam Neeson movie where he was going to try to save his daughter and stuff was being sex trafficked off. And most people think, oh, you know, there's just this, you know, this prince from some place with millions of dollars that's buying, you know, women and children. But really, the place where they make the most money is exploiting them on video and then getting people online and so forth. Just like Josh Duggar was just caught with some of the most obscene. And you can check out 511 News. We covered that story most recently. Some of the most obscene things that even some of the arresting officers just saw the material he was looking at. They saw they it was hard to stomach for them how hard it was, some of the stuff that he was looking at. And this is what happens with a seared conscience. When you continue to sear your conscience as with a hot iron, there are things in depravity that you can do as a full fleshly desiring human being, given over to that depraved mind. There are things that you could do that you would never thought you would go into. And these are the things that happen and take place when people are not submitted to the will of God and they are given over to the depravity of their mind. We talked about atheism already. That comes right out of Romans 1. Those who do not turn to Christ and they start looking to created things in order to worship them, they're given over to that depravity to do horrible, wicked things. And guys, we need to pray for them. If you're a parent, you need to be watching out for your children. You need to make sure. I don't care about privacy of my child. I'm going to be looking in the sock drawer. I'm going to be looking at the cell phone, which none of my children have yet. But I will make sure I know what's going on, because we are talking about their soul. We are talking about where they will end up for eternity. This life is but a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow, and we want to make sure that we are looking out for them. We want to make sure that we are guarding them with everything we possibly can, and we want to make sure that we are shining the light of Jesus Christ, because we want them to recognize that these commandments that God gave are not burdensome. That's what's so amazing about the gospel, is that Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's the exact opposite of what the world tells you Christianity is. It's the exact opposite. They tell you there's this book with all these rules, but what God says is all of these rules are for your betterment. What God says is just like a fire, right? A fire is great in a fireplace, but guess what happens when it gets on your walls and on your couch and on your house? It ruins it, right? So we want to make sure that we say, what are we going to play within the rules that God has given? Because he promised me in his word, he gave me these rules because why? My commandments aren't burdensome. I want to make sure that I recognize those commandments. I write them on my heart because my creator knows what is best for me. And so I'm going to go after him with everything in me. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God, and I pray for forgiveness for these men that came out with this bogus study. And I hope that they would repent, put their trust in Jesus, and find forgiveness in Christ because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 511 News.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.